What's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Impel Fort Podcast. What's going on? It's going to be a good one tonight. I'm waiting on my co-host, Renee. She told me something was going on with the stream. I just sent her the link again. I hope she'd be here. It's going to be a good one tonight. I got Pastor Nate Davis from Now Church. It's going to be a good one. He'll be on soon. We're going to talk all things church. All things church. All things church. All things church. And you see the title, Hoodies in the Pulpit. Don't let it fool you. There go my co-host.
Don't be answering your text again, sir.
I was on Facebook Live.
Doing the most for no reason.
What's going on?
Nothing. Just finished our workout. Hard day of work. You know how I do.
Uh-huh. What's going on? How was your week?
It was good. You know I'm president of HOA in my community.
Yeah, I know you be knocking on people's doors, telling them to move their cars and cut the grass. Yeah.
Listen, if you want change, you gotta, be the change. So I joined the HOA to create change, how I want to see it, or how the people want to see it. Uh-huh. So had a meeting yesterday. It was a little rough. You know, you can't please everybody, right. But I'm okay with that. You know, that's all in the game.
Okay. Well, you do a lot of things. You got a lot of things under your belt. So, you can handle it.
Yeah. You know, I saw one of my neighbors. I was taking the trash out. She walked past. She said, bless your heart.
Bless your heart?
Yeah, because our meeting was a little rough. So she said, bless your heart. You're such a good spirit. Mm. You know, you have to be sometimes. It's a lot going on. I have some questions for you.
And yep. Just something that need to be on live?
Yeah, it's being live. I don't know if you ready yet. Did you see the Ty Trivet interview on The Breakfast Club?
Oh, yes. We're going to talk about that.
Yes. I was going to send it to our special guest, to say, I need for you to take time out, your day and give us 5 minutes to take a look at that. But, he be on social media, so he kind of in the know.
Oh, yeah.
And I know,
Ty say the church is jacked up.
I know.
Not in those words, but that's what
he said. Whack.
Yeah, whack.
But he said the institution was whack.
Something on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm a child of God, so I just, I try to stay in my place. God knows my heart.
God knows your heart.
And so does our special guest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So did you see? While we're waiting on him, that link I sent you about the immigrants in California, that little pet.
Listen, I was talking to a friend today and talking about that same exact thing. The world is changing and it's changing quick.
Yeah.
And with that going on, the immigrants and even the other one, I think you sent me most recently talking about, taking over our jobs and, with AI taking over, corporate jobs where there are people like you and I that are in top positions. We need to start looking at other things, or lack of a better words, we need to be more aggressive in our ask.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And it's scary, to be honest, if you think about it. But you're in a position, right, that, you're a business owner, you cut hair. Not everybody can cut hair, right? Everybody attempts to cut hair. But there's,
people don't try to sit up under a robot and get their hair cut, nah.
Exactly. Your business is based on human interaction.
Right.
Not only because you're cutting someone's hair, but you can be, a sounding board, listening board to someone. You can provide advice. I don't know how much they're going to take from you, though. I mean,
I give good advice sometimes. And I take advice. That's the thing about the barbershop, man. We it's a good atmosphere to learn, get counsel, in the right. I'm not a counselor, but I can give some advice and I take advice from other people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people don't want me to say nothing. They just want me to listen. And sometimes when people be talking, the things they be saying, all I can do is listen.
That's true. That's true. They say, you know, barbershops and beauty salons are the original podcast. And yeah. I believe that because mm-hmm. that's where people go to vent, right? Or get advice or mm-hmm. talk about, you know, politics and, you know, things that's going on that you normally wouldn't want to discuss with your spouse or whomever, right? So, or, you know, a subject may come in and you discuss those topics and everything. So, I mean, if you really think about it from back in the day until on, barbershops and beauty salons were your, you know, that was the original podcast.
Yeah. And, you know, before this whole podcast thing jumped off,
mm-hmm.
we used to have so many people to tell us, man, y'all need to put a camera in this barbershop.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm.
And go with it. But we never did it. We never did it. But you can't do that in a barbershop.
Is it, I wonder, is it because it's this thing about men gossiping? Y'all don't want to be called sassy?
No, as far as what? Not putting the cameras in the barbershop?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. No, you know, people be saying anything. You be messing around, be snitching. You don't know you snitch.
That's very true. That's what happens in the barbershop stays in the barbershop.
Mm-hmm. We like Vegas, baby.
I'm not gonna lie. True story. I was I pride and I always thank my old beautician from my hometown in Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. She is the person who told me my fiance was cheating. She was washing my hair.
Hey, speaking of that. So
crazy, right?
Wait a minute. Crazy. Speaking of that,
shout out to Ruby. I'm telling you, she was.
They was watching our episode in the barbershop the other day. Hey, them boys, they say they don't believe that nobody bought you some Easter candy and Valentine's candy at the same time.
Now. Listen, he like, on my Facebook. At this point, I'll tag him.
Hey, did he work in the store or something?
No.
He had the candy saved up or something?
Huh?
He had the Easter candy saved up for the next year or something?
No. That's what it made it even worse.
Easter comes after Valentine's, so we trying to figure out how do you have get you
exactly. But if you think about it, right, like when you go to Target towards as it gets closer to Valentine's Day, they're putting out the Easter stuff, right?
Easter's like 2 months away.
They got stuff out now. They got bikinis out now. They had bikinis out last month.
Oh yeah, he had it. Candy stayed up from the year before.
There was just no thought behind it. You know what I'm saying? No right. thought. So, man, what? Don't let me be the topic of the barbershop because I come in there.
You are the topic you've been in topic for the last couple of days because they were watching that episode in the barbershop.
Really?
Yeah, that's hilarious. They came in the door. They were like, "Man, we were just watching your podcast the other day." And they were talking about the la 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 la. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think my guest is ready.
Oh gosh, I'm not even gonna say I'm excited. I'm hyped.
You hyped?
Know why? Yeah, why? Because. What's the saying? I stay on my level.
Dope. Be dope on your level.
I'm dope on my level.
He got a lot of models and little sayings.
I know. You know what? I was like, oh, I should move my little setup to the shoe room because you know his shoe game is vicious. So I was ready. Okay. You know.
Hey, but I do see you in another spot. You ain't got all them bottles over your head.
But you know, because I'm a child of God.
You usually have some bottles over your head.
Y'all know I love our special guest. If you know how I feel about our special guest.
It ain't that water that Jesus turned into wine either.
It might be.
But let's go. Welcome to another episode again of the Impel Fort Podcast.
Woo!
My friend, my pastor, one of my pastors. I have three pastors, y'all. But he's one of them. Great guy. Pastor of Now Church. P. Nate.
The one, look, I told you. I told you.
Hey, he called
my guy.
What's going on?
What's going on? Hey, look, I heard my sister saying, in case y'all see, that's water.
See?
That's water. He got water. And Gatorade. See?
Listen, I always say, I always say, you can ask any one of my friends, I always say, Pastor Nate, know my heart.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been consistent ever since I've known you.
See what I'm saying?
Hey, P. Nate say people hug him in church. Sometimes he smell like weed.
I smell like a little everything.
message. That's why he's everybody's favorite pastor.
I told him that's why, you know, I told him I'm not being big time and going back and changing. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of like, man. But the thing that's, I love that, smelling like people. I tell people, good pastors ought to smell like sheep. And okay. All sheep that you pastor are not at the same level. So,
see?
But I appreciate y'all having me.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I'm so hyped.
I'm nervous. Y'all two together, I'm nervous.
Why?
I've been rehearsing all day.
Oh, man.
Put a little bit in the middle of the camera.
There we go. Yeah.
But look, we're going to go ahead and get started because
okay.
People got short attention spans. I like to jump right on in.
Yep.
So we're going to go a little bit all over the place.
All right, let's get to it.
And you don't have to give no personal comment on this, but I just want you to touch on this.
Okay.
We got T.D. Jakes in the news.
Okay.
With Diddy.
Yep.
We got Will Murphy, swag and surf.
Yep.
Kim Burrell telling somebody, be quiet now. You can't sing while I'm singing. And you got Ty Trippett saying the church is jacked up.
Mm-hmm.
What, in your opinion, where is the state of the church right now?
I think, you know, one of the things that's really changed just with being called into ministry, I think being called into ministry is a little, like, Leon, I knew you were going to ask me this question, so I got like four or five barbershop examples. I'm gonna go because I've known you for a long time. I've known Leon, and like I said, you know, one of the things that when he introduced me, and I'm not a lot of pastors are kind of leery of people introducing them in this way, but mm-hmm. like he is my friend. You know, a lot of times people are leery about being friends with the people. They pastor. So like him saying he's my friend and he's my pastor, that's something I'm really, really comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the mutual respect that we have for one another. And so when I got called into ministry, being called into ministry right now is a little different than back in the day.
Right.
You know, and you know, when I got called into ministry, it's kind of like you ruin your life. Like there was no social media.
Yeah.
You couldn't wear no jeans. You didn't have no Instagram. Was no photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
No, none of this. So it was a little different than it is now. So I thought of a good Leon example because I know people. He is their barber, and so you know he has institutionalized. To where I remember when he would come in on Saturdays in Invictus. Uh-huh. And it would be this dude that would sit in the back of the barbershop in the corner chair. And
what time would it be?
About 5:30
in the morning, a.m.
Sleep. And I'm like, who is this dude? And he would be in there watching, learning, and I'm like, he beat everybody in. He don't need a haircut because you know he got that sweet water. You know, I'm like 2 weeks that he can. When I see him at the gym, he can put a hood on his head. His
right.
stuff still looking good and stuff like that. I got to go to the mirror and do something. So I'm like, he's not getting a haircut, but I've seen him as he's gone, and now he's a business owner. So as a business owner, to get Leon now, Leon got an app. He said he's not technology, you know, savvy, but Leon got an app. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? If you can't call him and text him, he's going to say, go to the app.
Oh, my goodness.
Even his pastor calling him, P-Nate, go to the app.
Right.
So the thing about it is, because he is referencing me to the app, you got to have a card on file. Mm-hmm. He's going to have that stuff come out and stuff like that. I can't say he is not a barber.
Right.
Because I want to be able to call somebody and text somebody, and he tell me to come at 3. You know, it was a time we are friends. He be in his chair. And I said, hey, man, can I get a shape up real quick? I got an appointment at 11. He wasn't going to cut my hair. He got an appointment at 11 because that's how he functions.
Right.
But I can't say barbershop is supposed to be a place where I can come in and go open my mouth and say he's not a real barber because he is not functioning what is beneficial to me.
Right.
That's just my personal opinion, and that's my personal way I like to operate, but he don't operate that way. So then the thing about it is I can't say, well, Leon won't take my appointment over the phone, so I ain't never get my hair cut again. I just need to go find another barber.
Right.
But he and I can still be in a relationship, even though his practices are not like mine. And so, you know, with a lot of things that are going on today, I think it's not for people not to go to church, but you find somebody who benefits you, or they add, it kind of fits you. And I'm like, I don't not go on Booksy and do all that stuff because I just don't want to, but my schedule's a little jacked up and stuff like that. But I can't expect Leon to make special concessions for me and change his whole business practice because I am his pastor. No, this man owns a business. He's trying to feed his wife and kids. So the thing about it is I have to find somebody that I can call at 10. Yo, can I come at 12? But I'm not going to get my hair, not get my hair cut anymore because he doesn't cater to me. I think a lot of what happens too is that it depends on what a pastor's personal agenda is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, church, my agenda is to pastor. So when they talk about institutionalized and stuff like that, my agenda is the pastor. My agenda is before church to run out and I'm running around, I'm flying and I'm speaking to people. My thing is to be out at the service doing this and everybody in the church, I gave them my phone. They have my personal phone number, which people think is the crazy. My agenda is to be a personal, touchable pastor. That's what God has called Pastor Nate to be. So anybody else who's that does different, that's just their agenda. That is their what God has called them to be. I'm going to give y'all, you done threw Jake's out there, and so there's some other people that comes along with it. So okay. I probably got to change my example. But it's kind of like, you know, I use a lot of examples. Like Meek Mill.
Okay.
I like Meek Mill because even though he's reached a certain platform, he's still like a neighborhood guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's Philly. He can go back to the projects. He can jump on a dirt bike. Philly loves him. Nas is still Queensbridge. Mm-hmm. People in, you know, they still love, those are neighborhood guys. I'm a neighborhood guy. I'm a neighborhood pastor.
I would like to say you're the only pastor that I know of in the churches that I've ever belonged to that it feels attainable to reach you. Does that right. make sense?
Yep.
And I don't have to go through, you know, the 12 or the 10 people to get to you or to possibly even, you know, say hi or whatever. But since I've known you and met you, it's always been attainable to reach you. And I think that what makes you different, and that's what makes people flock to you and your church. And
so, Leon, I think right. I kind of danced around your answer. I don't know if I did, but
the state of the church.
Yeah.
You got it through the
Barbie. But, you know, I think with the state of the church, and I think changing, and, you know, when I preach is Bible, experience, and then it's personal. And I always try to leave out my personal opinion. So I, you know, example, you know, you see on Monday, because Leon sings on our praise team, that Marcus prays with a hat on. And he leads praise and worship with a hat on. Now,
right.
So Paul in Corinthians, talking to the church in Corinth, he said that if you are a man, you shouldn't have a hat on when you pray. And if you are a woman and you're doing stuff in church, then you should have a dolly on, have your head covered. Now, that was talking to the culture of the Corinthian church.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about it is Marcus leads worship with a hat on. So church has evolved because, you know, and my wife doesn't pray with a dolly on. You get right. what I'm saying? So that's what they were saying about that church at that time. So I think some, as we evolve and stuff, we have to figure out what is cultural, because that was cultural to that time, and what is sanctification, what is holiness. Now, I wouldn't get up to pray with a hat on, because I'm, as Paul says, I'm trying to be all things to all men. So if I'm going to do something to offend somebody, I'm not going to do it, because because we have a multi-generation congregation. Somebody's like, look at him. He got that hoodie on, but he got a hat on. He don't know the word, because the Bible say you. So the thing about it is, because I want them to receive the word, I just don't do it. Do I think it's wrong? I don't know. God is not hearing my prayer because I got a hat on. But right. The thing about it is, because we have so many different generations in the church, I just don't do it. It's the sacrifice of just being a pastor, you know? What everything that's lawful is not expedient. And so the thing about it is, if I'm going to do something to lose one, I'm okay.
So speaking of the hoodies and hats, with you wearing hoodies on stage preaching, what is the significance of when we have a communion, you throwing that robe and you're looking a little different?
Yep.
What is the difference in that?
I think it's just what I said. Also, you know, one of the reasons why I like to wear hoodies or everything, or most of my stuff has Now Church on it.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different people who are at the church. And so the thing about it is, I'm going to wake you up with my sneakers now. Like, I like Jordans. You know, I'm going to wake you up with them. But the thing about it is, because of who I'm called to, only thing people are going to be able to say, man, you know, he wear Now Church stuff all the time. They can't never say, oh, how much is that? How much is that? How much is that? And all they gonna, what they going to say? He wear Now Church stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. So nobody ain't gonna like, man, what are you doing with the offering? The man don't wear that, but Now Church stuff, you know. and so that's one of my ammos, you know, is not to be cool, because that's what's in style. It's really comfortable. It really is. It does give me an opportunity just to concentrate on the word and not what I'm going to wear the next day. You know, I'm going to wear some hoodie and some joggers, and I'm going to grab some sneakers. So then my mind is able to really, really concentrate on what I'm doing. And then I feel like I'm not a distraction, you know?
Yeah.
It's like he's wearing, and I actually got the concept from just basketball coaches. As we're going into the pandemic, all they do is just wear their team stuff. So I'm going to do. Then doing communion and stuff, that's a little bit more ceremonial. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, because we're multi-generational, you know, the mothers, they started a petition. You look so good in that suit. I'm like, hey, Mala, you I ain't wearing that suit. Anyway. Just give us two Sundays. Give us two. Can you give us? I ain't giving you two Sundays. I'm gonna give you one.
One good one.
And so that's just my thing about, you know, wearing that. Nobody can ever judge what I have. People say, well, you ought to be able to do what you want to. Yeah, but like I said, my calling is to win a multi-generational of people. So if there's people who are going to come and they can be fixated on the word, because he ain't going to do nothing but wear a hoodie. You know, now it's crazy when people invite visitors and I have something on, they are apologizing and explaining the reason why I have on a, Pastor, why you dressed like that today? I brought my visitor. I told him you ain't like that. Hey, tell him to come back next week. I got him. I got a hoodie next week.
That Letterman jacket is hard.
And I always say, it ain't about the clothes, it's about the soul.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question for you. Did you ever think your vision of your church would grow so big?
No.
You always talk about you started small. I believe you talk about how you started. It was just a few of you guys and starting out. And it just, I mean.
You know what? Almost 5 years later, I'm still in shock. I'm amazed. I am amazed every time that God chose somebody like me to do this. And it's one of the reasons why I feel like I'm very, I love the sheep, you know, because I know this is God's doing. Yeah. But I'm still amazed. I went to church, you know, but I don't have the pedigree of my dad's a bishop and my great granddad's a deacon and my grandma was doing this and this and this and this. I'm just a dude who got saved December the 20th, 1995, and fell in love with the Lord. And the fact that I'm doing this, I'm still amazed. So I still have not got comfortable.
When did you know? And we know you was affiliated with another church. When did you know that you was ready to step out and build your own?
Good question. I during the time that we had conversations about me starting a church, it was kind of like I've been preaching on Sundays. God came and I just had to step out on faith. You know, our church journey is not like anybody else's, which I know is God. You know, there's a process of starting churches. You know, you get your website together. And again, I'm talking about my process and my journey. Very, very unorthodox. You know, you're supposed to have a website, and you're supposed to have like a letter that you're telling people you're starting a church, and you know, you're supposed to get a group of 12, and you go to a city and you pray and you start your website and you get your 501c3 together, and then you have a launch meeting, then you start in your house, in your basement, and start as a small group, and you start from there. And that was just not like our process at all. It was like, okay, we're going to start this church. It's a Wednesday. When we starting it, we starting it on the Sunday. Okay, we ain't got no pamphlets. We ain't got no flyers. We ain't got no website. Let me get on this phone, text 80 people, text people. Hey, we starting the church tomorrow. You want to be there? Kind of, you know, you're there. And 212 people showed up. And that first day, the Lord told me, do not take up an offering and do not take up people's information. So we're a church with $75.
Wow.
And that's it. And the Lord said, don't take up an offering and don't take anybody's information. So I stood up that day and said, hey, y'all like this? And they said, yeah. I said, okay, well, come back. When? Well, don't come back next week, because there's different times you start a church. You start a church Easter, you started New Year's, or you started after in September, when after Labor Day weekend, because families have taken their last vacations.
Okay.
So they say you miss a lot of people when they travel. The Lord said, don't start it on Easter. I was like, Lord, that's when it's going to be popping. He said, don't start it on Easter. So we started the Sunday after Easter. And so there's some things that very strategically the Lord told me to do. So I knew it was him. And so that's how we started.
Amazing.
Speaking of tithes and offering,
mm-hmm.
It's been a conversation. You know, I've been in a barbershop for 21
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
And there's always conversations on preachers and pastors taking money. This is what people like to say. They taking people money, you know, getting this and they buying this and they doing this with the money. And I always said that no pastor is making people give them anything. If you go to a church and you're giving your tithes and offering, that should be on you. And if you know you have a good pastor, you shouldn't worry about what they're doing with the money.
You're right.
What my thing is, pastors, first, y'all are human. Like, we all are human.
Mm-hmm.
You became it before you became a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your take on raising offerings and tithes and giving?
Good question. And, you know, one of the things is I measure off, like, I don't know if you remember, we were in Planet Fitness. And you came up to me one day, and this is how you know people trust you. You like, man, I believe in giving. And we weren't even having a conversation about giving.
Right.
We were talking about some exercises or something like that. So then I knew that you trusted me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you trusted because we weren't even talking about that. And so one of my things is always say, be dope on your level, not equal gifts, but equal sacrifices. Mm. And so the thing is, at our church, I don't look who gives and who, I don't know who the top givers are. You know, I get a thing of what we, but I don't look at that because I don't want to treat anybody according to what they do. My thing is I always ask them to be dope on the level. I give you an example that where I got this concept from. So when you have the Olympics and they have the Olympic ceremony, right? And, you know, you look at it in some of the smaller countries, they got like two people.
Yeah.
And then you got the U.S., they got like 500 people. And then so you have some of these smaller third world countries and you're thinking about, who did they compete against? You know,
yeah.
If you got 10 slots and the three of us compete, it's like, okay, you got three people. But the Lord told me they had to meet a measure in order to qualify. Mm-hmm. But they qualify based off the measure. And you know what I tell people? One of the things I learned from a pastor I got saved under is not a debt you owe, but it's a seed that you sow. Mm. So you're not doing it paying a debt. It's a seed that you sow. And the Bible says, don't let that there should be nobody who gives grudgingly under compulsion because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So if you are giving under, if I'm compelling you to give or you're giving under compulsion, or you're giving grudgingly, it really ain't working for you no way. Because the giving is not the lottery. Like right. I can't tell you, you're going to give today and get something tomorrow. Ain't true. I can't tell you that you're not going to have a hard time in your life because you tithe. That ain't true. But what I can tell you is there is a confidence that comes when you have seed in the ground. You know, one of the things that had to happen with me as a pastor, and I'm re-preaching my message over again. We've been preaching on Luke where Mark didn't catch anything the first day. And Jesus said, let down your net again. And then he had a large catch. And he said, now not am I only going to bless you, but I'm going to make you fisher of men. In order for me to understand, because I didn't, the thing is, I don't have to have the same experience that everybody has had, right, but I have to be able to understand. So right before we started pastoring, me and my wife, we were elders, we were tithing, we were giving, we were faithful, and we were serving, and we went through a financial time where y'all like, I really did not want to be alive.
Mm.
Like real talk. I was like, man, what is, I mean, we tithe, we elders, we doing premarital and we doing this. And I've said this in church, like, man, it was like embarrassing to be me. Like we stayed in one of those apartments where there's no, you know, you it's just your door.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were late on our rent. And they were putting that little note on your thing. And man, I was just like, what's going on? Like my cell phone got cut off and you know, and I had to borrow money from somebody. Like my wife, her car broke down one day. She had this brown Malibu and her car broke down and she called me to come get her.
Mm.
I could not get her because I did not have gas to go get her.
Wow.
Had this Tahoe. I'm like, I can't come get you. Why? I don't have gas to like get there. Like my son was about to go to school. Like we didn't know how we were going to get there to to take them.
Mm-hmm.
And God turned that thing around and blessed us. But the thing about it is, he knew I was going to be in a position where I passed it. So I had to have compassion and heart for people who were going through a tough time. Because I grew up in a good household. Mm-hmm. You know, we were sitting here talking about the before I got on, we were talking about, man, people like, oh, man, you know, when I got my first car, I had to pay my insurance. I had to pay no car insurance. You know, yeah. Me and Danielle were talking about something earlier, and I was singing this rap song. She said, ooh. I said, oh, yeah, that's the trouble I was going through in my two-parent household.
Yeah.
So I believe God took me through that season where I had to have compassion for people who were going through something. And I know I'm right, but my mom also taught me. Y'all ever seen where they do family swaps?
Yeah.
And so it was a family who had written this book, and they were very, very rich. And they swapped with this very, very poor family. Mm-hmm. And my mom said, Nathan, the rich family looked on their bookshelf, and they had a book that they had purchased by this really, really rich family, but they didn't recognize who they were. She said, I said, Mom, what's the lesson? She said, don't get rich off poor people's money.
Oh.
So these rich people had gotten rich off these poor people's money. So that's just my ammo. Not that everybody in the church is poor, but my thing is not to get rich off what they do. So I tell people, and I say all the time, I probably shouldn't say this, but you know what? If you think, you know, you probably shouldn't give. My pastor friends tell me, Nate, that is the craziest thing that you should say. But I'm just like, if you think, and the thing about it is, you should not go to a church where you should not receive spiritual teaching from somebody that you think may be a thief.
Mm. Yeah.
You heard it from the pastor, people.
If we are at the gym and Leon is in his little section, he hugs my wife and they over there talking. And I'm like, what y'all talking about? This light-skinned dude with this curly hair, what y'all? Because I trust him. You get what I'm saying? So I don't know what they're talking about. So you should not go to a church where you think the pastor has the potential to be a thief.
That's a word.
That's my thing of giving.
I have a question for you as we talk about, you know, churches evolving, institutions evolving, or should be evolving with today's time. You know, you hear manifestation often. You know, I don't know. I can't say it's something that's trending. I can say that I hear it often. I'm a believer in prayer. I pray. So I don't, you know, but what do you think the difference is when people are like, okay, I manifest this. And I'm like, you prayed about
mm-hmm.
it. That comes out of my mouth. And so why do you think is such a, you know, a difference in between the two?
You know what? And I don't think it's a difference. And I think you are 100% right. I think with our culture, we have taken a lot of biblical principles and added them in everyday culture. Girl, you better speak that in existence.
Yeah.
Oh, that you manifested in that, you know, into what you believe. You know, people call me now and they say grand rising. and we've taken a lot of biblical principles and then put them in our everyday life. But I will go a step further. I say what the difference is the relationship. Is the relationship that if something that I speak doesn't manifest, can I still be in a relationship with you? You know, one of the things I was listening to, I do work out on Sundays before I go to the gym. And I was listening to this pastor one day, and it was so, I'm going to use one of my wife's words, it was so apropos, the English major. I wouldn't say that. I would say it was so what I was going through. But my wife said it was so apropos to what I'm going through. But, and I'll say his name, Ari Vernon was talking about, with the spiritual gifts, you know, so there's the gifts of your calling in the ministry, the fivefold ministry gifts. And then there are also grace gifts that Paul's talk about in in Corinthians, and one of them is the gift of healing. And he said that his wife always wants him to pray for people because she says he has the gift of healing. Mm. And he said, you have to understand that God is the one who does the healing. He said, because if it were not, anybody in our family would that we pray for, if we had the gift of healing, nobody would ever die.
Right.
Anybody who we love, and I needed to hear that. And why I say that is because, and I think Leon remembers this, there's a lady in our church who just went on to be with the Lord. And I got up at church and said, we're going to pray for her. Mm-hmm. We're going to pray for her right now. And we believe that she's healed. I got the call. Soon as we stepped out of church, her daughter called me and said, my mama passed. Now, I needed to hear that morning because I'm not arrogant enough to think that I didn't pray the right way, that she went on to be with the Lord.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So if she would have lived, it wasn't Pastor Nate. And because she went on to be with the Lord, it ain't Pastor Nate. Mm. But I needed to hear that in the time, because if you hear, you just speak it and it's going to happen. You just speak it and it's going to happen. I spoke it in front of about 1,400 people and it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. There's a sovereign and the providence of God. So what separates is it, and that point is, that what I wanted to happen didn't happen, but the relationship with the Lord, even though there's things I don't understand, I can still be with him. Mm. So I think that's the difference. You know, I think it's that relationship.
How do you come up with all these analogies and stories? Do you sit and just think of what to say or how to say and write?
I think it's gifting.
Gifting.
I think it's gifting. I can that's something I can do with my eyes closed.
Yeah, you do.
It's just gifting. It's a gift from God. I've always been able to tell stories mm-hmm. growing up, and I've always been able to remember things. But I just have a gift for telling stories, making analogies. I want people to understand, you know. So titles and messages and stuff like that is just a gift I have. I can come up with a story like that, you know. Even the name Now Church. This actress, and that's the way God speaks to me. Mm-hmm. Regina, I can't remember her name. She's on Malibu's Most Wanted. And she said that she had a bad breakup, and the only time she felt peace is when she prayed. Mm. And so she was going to become a nun at 40.
Wow.
She's going to quit being an actress and become a nun at 40. She said, and the guy said, why? She said, because that's the only time I feel peace when I pray. And the Lord spoke to me right now, spoke to me that day and gave me the name of the church is, how can she make that peace and prayer roll over into her everyday life so she can still be where her gift and her talent is? So you mean to tell me the only time you're going to feel peace is when you pray? Does God require you to pray all day to feel peace? Can you feel peace when you're cutting hair? Can you feel peace when you're at work? Can you watch the game and feel peace? Can you teach your daughter how to drive and feel peace? Like, I believe there's something that comes from being in the prayer that rolls over into your everyday. So people feel like you have to be in church all day because that's where you feel victory. That's where you feel peace. That's where you, so can I come here and get some to go?
Right.
Well, I can feel peace with, you know, and so the thing about it is me, when I got saved, I had to figure out how does this affect my life? Because, and I'm not saying this in a bragging way, because growing up, I never had to believe God for things other people did. Mm. You know, one of the things that can happen with good people is they can feel like they didn't need God. So I don't try to make up a testimony that I didn't have. We didn't have to believe God for food. We didn't have to believe God for gas money. We didn't have to believe. So I'm kind of like, Lord, my life right now that I have in college is pretty good. So how is this going to roll over into my everyday and make it better? Does that make sense?
It does.
Definitely. Yeah, and I asked that question because when I'm listening to you on Sundays, I'm like, I wonder what does he do to come up? How does he come? And when you come up with your analogies and your stories, you have a way of tying it into the word.
Can I be honest about when I wanted to preach?
And
I'm being so secular. So I was with this preacher one time, and we were supposed to be a memorial service, and it ended up being a funeral. I probably shouldn't say this, but it ended up being a funeral. And we got there and he said, Nathan, it was Pastor Andy. I'm not mm-hmm. ashamed to say his name.
Yeah.
Taught me a lot. And he said, Nathan, it's a funeral. I thought a memorial service. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. That's what they told me. He said, all right, no problem. Let's go. And I was like, so this man, I know he didn't know this lady. He knew the family, but he didn't know her.
Mm-hmm.
He got up and he preached his sermon, a eulogy for like 30 minutes. I was like, what in the world? And then he was like, oh, that was her. Oh, yeah, mama. And he started talking about some cookies. And he started talking about a green door. And I'm like, y'all, man, this man don't know her. He know y'all. And so we were in the car one day, and I said, hey, how did you do that? And he's like, Eminem. I said, Eminem? He said, Eminem. I said, what? He said, yeah. I said, what you mean? He said, freestyle. I said, oh. I said, okay. He said, what you mean by that? I said, Jay-Z. He said, what you mean? I said, off the dome and no notes. So right. You notice I don't preach with notes.
Right.
You don't.
I don't preach with any notes because I've transitioned my mind to be able to go from here to here to here to here to here. So if I can get to that point where my next transition is, then I can go boom, 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 boom. So anything very organized, it messes up my mind, actually. So then I can go back and say, oh, I was kind of excited Sunday. This was a miss. I don't have to go back and look at it, but I know I missed here. So last Sunday, I talked about your spot.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was a high moment, I didn't explain. Your spot is the place of faith where God wants to do a work in you. So they were excited about the spot, but I didn't tell them that was your place of faith. So one miss.
So when that happens, do you automatically create a part two?
I'm going to come back and I'm going to say, hey, guys, I want to be clear. Last week when I said that's my spot and Vince was saying, how do you know a good fishing spot is your spot? It's because there is a volume of catches that's happening in that spot. So the thing about it is you want to be in a place of faith where God is operating. The children of Israel, when they came out of the wilderness and went into the promised land, it says they were in a place that was flowing with milk and honey. See, the thing about it is you want to get into the flow. Mm-hmm. You want to figure out where God wants you, where you are operating, and that's your spot. So, for example, me and my dad, anybody kind of remember a record player? And so I know the story I'm going to take because my dad was in this place and he told me the record player was mine, but he told the guy it wasn't. So the thing about it is when you're in a hard place, sometimes people are looking for a why rather than a who.
Mm.
So Jesus didn't give Peter any reason why he didn't catch fish, but he knew a who was with him. So sometimes you got to have faith in the who and not the why, because you can fall out of faith if you concentrating on the why. Anybody ever been in a situation where God didn't explain to you why you were going through something? So in my mind already, I can do that now. So what I did right now was I practiced on y'all.
Yeah. Right. I'm over here thinking like, That was last week when that happened. Man, so, yeah. That's amazing. So let me ask you this. What does Pastor Nate like to do outside of Now Church and coach basketball?
Go to the gym and hang out with my dogs.
Mm-hmm. How many dogs do you have?
I have two.
Wow.
I got one that my wife wants to send obedience class because the neighborhood that we live in, she wants, you know, they're little foo-foo dogs. So she wants these dogs to be like all the other dogs. And, you know, I'm urban, not urban in where I'm from, but urban in culture. Mm-hmm. And so they call the dog Penny and I call her a little mama. And so when we go outside, she wants me to call her Penny and not little mama, but little mama off the chain. Anybody come, little mama gonna bark after them. But, you know, she wants to walk with her sweatpants on, her headband, and be able to just kind of say, hey, good morning. Little mama's like, ah. You know what I'm saying?
You like, okay. Yeah.
I'm like, hey, yeah. Let little mama be little mama. And so that's what I like to do. I really like to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. It's like a challenge for me to, you know, to push myself. And that's about it. I'm really, really simple. I'm really, really basic. So I don't do much.
Hey, look, you preached a message, grace and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good message. Can you touch on that a little bit more? Cause I think you talked about how sometimes as Christians who've been saved for a long time and
mm-hmm.
think they got it all together and certain things ain't for them.
Yeah.
And can you talk a little bit more?
Yeah. And
I think
the thing about it is, you know, mercy. God, y'all gonna make me preach all my messages.
Let's go.
Mercy. So this is how I see mercy. Okay. I got a new example. Man, I'm giving y'all my communion example. The Lord spoke to me. So it's a guy who's going through something, but I know he didn't do what he was supposed to do, which got him in this situation. So I'm thinking, this is what got you in this situation. And I know that. So in my mind, I don't want to be pharisaical and I don't want to be legalistic. I want to show him mercy. But in my mind, I still know what he did not do to get him in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I have people that I pastor that are also my friends who are spiritual. So I call Al Allgood. Y'all messing up my story. You make me get approved. So I said, Al, do you think I'm being pharisaical and do you think I'm being legalistic? He said, would you, come on, y'all gonna miss your first shout on this one. He said, would you treat him different if you did not know what he did to get himself in the situation?
Mm.
He said, how would you treat him if you did not have the information that got him in the situation? Would you treat him different? I said, I would. He said, so God treats us as he has no information where we messed up.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says that he throws your sin as far as the east to the west.
Mm.
He's seeing you with no information. That's the good thing. You get to start over where you are. Because the Bible says, therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone and the new is come.
Right.
And so that mercy is God is treating you like he has no information.
Mm, every single time.
And so with grace and the mercy, the grace is God gives you time to figure out how to be in a relationship with him.
Mm.
Because when you get saved, you're still trying to figure out how to be in a relationship with the Lord. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to do some stuff right.
Right.
You know, Paul says that marriage is a picture of a love that can exist between Christ and the church. It's a picture of a love that exists between Christ and the individual. So he compares marriage to a relationship between Christ and the church. In a marriage, You have to get, because somebody came from this place. My wife came from a single parent household. I came from a two parent household. I went to public school. She went to private school. I think Boys in the Hood is classic. Men of Society. She doesn't know. The other day when I said R to the EZ, M to the Wiz I, she don't know who Remy Ma was. She had no, you know, my arm stayed breezy, my doll stayed blizzard. You know, I got a day to eight in the quarter. She has no idea. So we're on two separate ends. So to get married, we had to give each other some grace to figure each other out.
So you had her watch Boys in the Hood?
She's like, Nate, I don't get it.
That's my girl, though. That's my girl.
But what she did was she was able to understand me.
Right.
So God gives grace so you can figure it out. But like Leon was saying, no matter where you are and how long you've been saved, the Bible says, and they taught us in Cogent Church, your righteousness is a filthy rags. You are who you are because in God is Him who you live, move, and have your being. So you can't just say, and people sit in church and say, oh yeah, I just know it's His grace and His mercy. You got some stuff that we don't know about, but it's because it's grace and mercy that has brought you this far. And so you never get out of that. It's His mercy and His grace. It's some things that if they could have gone another way, that you wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says, if I'm going to brag into anything, I'm going to brag about what God has done in my life. And amen. So His grace, His mercy, His goodness, and His mercy, it follows us all the days in our life. So, you know, you can't be in a service and look at somebody else and look at this person, because you got to remember, like, where you used to be. Like, when people are not up praising like I am or worshiping like I am. I remember when I was that dude and my wife said, hey, are you going to stand up? I'm like, no, I'm good. Well, Nate, everybody else is standing up in church. Yeah, I don't care. Like, I'm not standing up. You know, now I'm running around the church and stuff like that and this and this and this. And, you know, and that's why also I like people. I like seeing all different types of worship in the church. Because I feel like there's all different types of expression. Some people going to be like this. But I love to see a dude just doing like this. I love it. I'm telling you, I love it. You got the mother shouting. You got the stuff over here. Then you got Leon's, you know, I love it. And you got a dude in the back and he's doing like, you know, Roger Potts, he's doing like this. And, you know, I love it because it's all different types of expressions in one place. But God's grace and mercy is the thing that has gotten us all this far.
Right. I believe in that.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of, you brought up marriage. Mm-hmm. Well, I know a lot of pastors, they become, counselors, mm-hmm. in marriage. I want to say, what makes you think that you can counsel? Or
that's a good question.
How does that? I guess because it ties into the Bible. That's what I'm assuming. You didn't go to school for counseling, right?
No.
Mm-mm. No.
Right. So with me, I've married 605 couples.
Wow.
605 couples. So my experience gives me a little credibility.
Right.
But this is what I say. I don't think, my personal opinion, I don't think you should start doing pastoral marriage counseling until you've been married probably about 5 years.
Really?
Because the thing about it is, I think it takes that long to get your system right. Me and my wife have a great marriage, not because we are the same, but we have a really good system. I think it takes some longevity going through some things. I don't think you have to go through everything another couple has gone through in order to be counseled. but I don't think you can be a novice in what you do. Like, I didn't start marrying people till I've been married at least 10 years.
Wow.
I've been married about 15 before I start counseling, because there's just some stuff you just haven't seen in 3 years. I don't think you should. And so I think the thing about it is, I've been married a long time. I've been married 26 years. I got 4 children. I have 2 adult children. I have grandchildren. I had a daughter-in-law. I got a son that's been through a divorce. So there's a lot of different aspects of family and marriage that I can speak on, just because I've had that experience. You know, I think one of the things is, I never, in marriage counseling, I never try to make anybody be me. Mm. That's why I say you need to develop your own system. So what I do is, I give people things to build your own system. You know, I like to give a lot of examples. So it's like, if in basketball, here you go. Here's the reason why I think you shouldn't do it. So in basketball, when I played basketball, I played high school, I played college basketball. The first day we were running the motion offense, and there's just green jerseys and there's no defense out there, I knew that I was going to bring the ball down the court. I was going to pass to the right. If I passed to the right, I was going to go to the left, set a screen. Once I set the screen, the ball was going to come back up to the top. And then there was going to be an upward screen from both blocks. And then we were looking for a backdoor cut. And if wasn't there, we're going to do it again. So the first day, it's easy, because I knew I was going to pass to Eric Rue, and then I was going to screen away. So then the coach says, okay, we're going to put 5 defensive people out there. Changes the scenario again. Now, the person I was supposed to pass it to on the right side, he ain't open. So I don't know how to start this, because in order to start it, it was supposed to be off a pass. So then I learned, after I've been doing it a while, you know what I can do? Instead of passing it, and I know I'm trying to make this transaction, so I can do what I can do is, I can do a dribble entry. So I'm getting the same thing I would get, but I'm just not passing it. So instead of passing it here, I'm going to dribble entry to my left side. We're going to exchange, and then I can make the pass back here. And then when I make it back, you get what I'm saying? So yeah. I've learned how to, because we've been doing it, I've learned not to just give you system stuff, but if this ain't going right, you can do this. If this ain't going right, because everything is not just cookie cutter in marriage. Right. It's not just cookie cutter. People, you know, the Bible says, I tell people all the time, hey, the Bible says that if a man of God or a man is not speaking to his wife, his prayers will be hindered. And I'm Pastor Nate, and I don't want to be in the pulpit, and somebody's coming and saying they mama got cancer, and I pray for them. And then the devil is accuser of the brethren. And then the thing about it is, you know what? Year one, I knew that also. But I was okay sleeping downstairs. I wasn't saying, tequila, we got to talk, because my prayers going to be. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I ain't going to pray no way. I'm going down to sleep. You know? So even in that, you need somebody to hear and say, you know what? That's true. But I done slept downstairs a couple of times. But like Leon was saying, I'm glad God said, this boy is a fool. Let me show him some mercy. let me show him some mercy. So I do think it takes a while to figure out those audibles before you start counseling people. You just ain't done it. You ain't done it enough. Mm-hmm. You know, my best friend cut hair, but I'm not Leon. I've seen cutting hair for 30 something years. I live with a barber. I got my hair cut until I was doing this new thing twice a week for 20 something years. I know I got a cow lick up front. So I know instead of going over and putting a guard over with it, I know that you got to take a comb, comb that thing out, go clipper over comb. And what that's going to do, you got to comb it again. And it's going to make everything even. I know that, but I can't do what Leon can do.
Yeah.
It sound good. Comb it, clip over comb. Take the guard, take it all the way back. Get the biggest comb you can get based on the cow lick, comb over it. Oh, it's even. Even. I look good doing it. Pastor Nate know how to cut hair. No, I don't.
You see how he did that analogy? He don't even know that he did it in the flow of what he was saying. It just automatically. It just
I can't flows. Do it. I can't do what he can do. I know you're supposed to take gum out your mouth because the side of your head move when you're trying to get a good fade. Uh-huh. But yeah. I can't do it.
But you I can never get on told Zoom. Me that.
I can get on the Zoom and say, hey, you know what? The thing about it is, I learned from old barber. If you got dandruff in your hair, get a cup of Listerine and pour it in there. But I can't cut hair. So everybody who's seen that don't mean you ought to be giving advice. Mm. You know what I'm saying? My walls from car drugs don't cut like Leon's. So that's my thing.
Yeah. Anything else, Renee? Oh, she has something to ask you. I don't know if she's gonna ask you, but something about some singles, something.
Oh, I was joking. It. I was like, when are you gonna have Christian singles meet?
Let me tell you something I did.
Your meetups.
Let me tell you let me tell you something I did when I was a young adults pastor.
What?
So I would take my pastor's sayings and do fellowship events, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he had this message one time called "It's Just Coffee." So I said, I'm going to do speed dating.
Mm-hmm.
I had I want you to hear what I'm saying. I had 485 women show up.
Where at the church now?
Mm-mm, when I was at World Overcomers. 485 women. And guess how many men?
How many?
12.
That's to, crazy.
Every 12. Hey, Leon, I don't know if I could. Yeah, I can say this. He wouldn't mind. You know who was one of the people that was in there?
Who?
Andre Moore. That's how he met his Carrie.
Oh, yeah.
That's how he met his wife at the thing.
See, it worked. She was one of 400.
I don't. Hey, Renee. I hope that's Duke's odds of shooting three-pointers this Saturday.
I hope they
one of 400.
I'm trying to tell you. One of 400.
One of 400.
Switch. So what's next?
Leon, you need to receive that. You need to receive
that. For real? Yes. Thank you.
What's next for our church?
Yes. What's next for Now Church that we want to make sure the people hear and they get to?
What is next for Now Church? We got a lot going on. Easter's coming up. My wife started this book club that's really dope.
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm.
We have this, one thing I'm really proud of, we have this group with men. And men are able to come on there, and these dudes, you know, they talk, and I mess them up because of my stories. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about one time I set them up, and a lot of these dudes didn't have dads in their life, and you know, I try to come up with practical examples to how to relate to being in a relationship with the Lord, and I told them, I said, man, what y'all think about the world making a big deal about LeBron going to his son's game? He said he's going to be at his first game at USC. What y'all think? And I said, I don't think it's that big a deal. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go to that son's game. They said, well, Pastor Nate, you don't understand the sacrifice that he's making. He's really important, and he's coming out what he's doing to be there, and that's what you're supposed to do for your children, and a father ought to be there with a son, and he can give you good advice, and he's ever present, and you know, da-da-da-da. I said, man. Is that the kind of relationship y'all want? They said, yeah. I said, man, you know that God came out of deity. He came out of something that was really important.
Mm-hmm.
Out of heaven, it came to the earth. I said, huh? And so, you know, we kind of do things like that. So we got that coming up. And our Sunday services are really good.
They really are.
10 a.m. Look, Renee got somebody last time, Leah. Was it you? Somebody said, "Ooh, it's good to see you." She said, "Don't be trying to play me, because y'all don't see me in the building. I'm online."
Exactly. And I'm online. And Leah, I know it because I'll send him a picture. I'm like, "Oh, you singing this Sunday? I see you up there, shooby-dooby-dooping." She said,
"Look, I've been here longer than y'all. Y'all don't know how long I've been in a relationship." I said, "Oh."
Exactly.
But Sundays are really good. And,
and y'all do a lot in the community. Community too. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
I love that. The thing about it is, you can't come back and start a church in your hometown, and you know people call you out and like, hey, you know, right. You ain't what you doing? So yeah, that's one of our things. And one of the things that we do that we don't say a lot is we help people within the church. You know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other parts of the earth. You know, Jesus says that charity starts at home. And so, you know, I'm really glad that we're able to, you know, help a lot of people. And I think that's why people do give and tithe at Now Church, because they can see, you know, like where their money is going. And, you know, they wouldn't believe how many people that they're able to help, like single moms and do Christmas and stuff like that. And we don't do, you know, I don't believe in you help somebody for Christmas and make them do a video. Thank you, Now Church. You know, you know, the Bible actually says that's going to be your just reward. That's all you're going to get, you know. So we do that because we want people to be blessed and we want the church to be blessed. And I appreciate y'all. You know, you got to be careful having a Pete Price on here because he talked. I know I've talked a lot.
We love that.
You know, I appreciate it. I went to something with Dennis Garrett the other night to a one of our members. She's a year clean.
Mm-hmm. Great.
She got her button. And so, you know, that's the pastor I like, kind of pastor I like being, you know, me and some other people. We showed up for her and she was crying like my pastor is here. And I think when you love people like that, it's what makes other people want to come to the church. Like, yo, pastor showed up for you getting your 1 year, your 1 year button. And I like doing that and not being untouchable. Like, yeah, I got you. I come because I'm full-time ministry.
Yeah. And people know it too. It's like some of my friends, they're like, I'm like, oh, Pastor Nate. I'm like, listen, you know my heart. Tell him you know me. He know my heart. They look, I promise the guy, my best friend has never, and it's the one, you guys see her. She has all the hair. She's like, I'm going to get there one day. But that, you know, he's going to be my pastor one day. I'm going to get there. And I'm like, you can get there. You can. Sure. I mean, she speaks so highly of you through me that you were swerving down. She was there.
I finally got Leon to come.
Yeah, I used to watch online for a while. Hey, look, do you remember when I first said, I'm going to join the praise and worship team. You remember what you said?
I don't.
He laughed a little bit. He said, he didn't, I don't think he really believed me. And I talked to him a couple times. Then the last time he finally said, well, I got a Pastor Ashley. She runs that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And like, even our relationship, because, you know, a lot of people at the beginning, he said, I have a couple of pastors. Like, he and I understand that his grandma is his pastor also.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? And his grandma's done a lot for him and respect. So, I ain't trying to get him to break up with grandma. But, you know, we just share him, you know? And he let me know up front.
You don't even know.
You don't see me. This is where I am. I'm like, all right, cool.
After I left Sunday, that's where I went.
Yeah. So. And I know what time it is.
You're the people's pastor.
Look.
You just got to know that. People, you ain't even met.
I can't say Meek Mill no more because, you know, he's going through his little stuff with Dick. So I got to pick somebody up.
Listen, do you know I was telling Leon, and this is how I knew. Like, he knew I had been attending Now Church, and he was cutting my hair. He's like, you go to church? I'm like, yeah, Now Church. He's like, yeah, you know, Pastor Nate, come in here and get his hair cut sometime. I'm like, mm-hmm. So he texted me. He was like, you going to be at church on Sunday? I was like, no, I'll probably stream it on TV, right? And he was like, oh, okay. He didn't say nothing else. And then I didn't get a chance to stream it. I don't know what I was. I think, was it the following Sunday or the Sunday after that? I watched it on TV. And he was singing in the choir. And I said, well, I'll be.
You said what?
Picture. He was singing. He was singing. I said, well, I'll be. I know that is not me. I'm taking pictures. I said, you on stage at the church? He said, yeah, you know, I wanted to surprise you. That's why I kept asking you, was you coming to church? I said, man, so now, you know, if he asked me, I stream it. But if he asked me, he know. If he asked me, I'm going to be there. Both of them.
Online members are members too. So
see, he know my heart.
He know my heart.
Mm-hmm. You know. Well, we appreciate you joining us.
I enjoy this.
I'm going to have to get my girl, Lady T. I told Leon, I said, I'm going to get Lady T on because we got things to talk about.
That's going to be a different. I told Leon I didn't bring her home tonight just because, like, my personality is so dominant. And so I would be doing all the talking. People be like, you know, because on Sundays, they're like, she don't never get to say nothing. I'm like, no, it's not that she doesn't get to say, she doesn't want to.
Right.
Like, we're not co-pastors. And we're not, it's not that we're not co-pastors because I'm just the main guy. She's like, Nate, that's what God has called you to do. Do it. Like, I'm like, hey, you want to pray this morning? Nope. Like, come on.
But
man.
I can't say I witnessed her, you know, do a sermon one Sunday and she was amazing. So, you know.
So what the sisters do that? Oh my God. Look at her hair. Her hair is, look at, you know, I'm like.
You already know why like, she's like.
Yeah.
She ate this Sunday. She ate. Mm-hmm. Yep.
She didn't know what that meant. Did you? So I know you look because you use analogy. See,
mm-hmm.
When you can repeat 4 or 5 different sermons, you really are an online member.
Listen, I'm there. I'm there. What I say, Leon, I am the supportive person. I'm there. You need me.
You are,
or I'm there if I need that.
You've done 4 different sermons. You've done 4 different sermons and analogies. When I said my wife did not know what it means, the girl said, oh, you eating today.
Yes.
She's like, oh my. And that was too.
I'm trying to tell you, I'll be there. Because it seemed like when I miss the Sunday and I come back and it's like you be speaking, your word is like, Renee, where were you last Sunday? I'm like, I feel convicted a little bit. Just, you know, like, goodness.
Yeah.
I'm ready, though. But listen.
I appreciate it. Thank y'all for having me.
You touch everybody and keep doing what you're doing. You're amazing.
Now, I was going to ask you to leave your link, but I know sometimes you got to look at Lady T to get the links and all that. But yeah, now
We can.
I already posted in the thing. I was just messing.
You put the YouTube down there?
I don't have the YouTube, but I have the Now Church website.
Okay. Also, put the YouTube Now Church on YouTube so they can stream it too.
Yeah, so they can do all of that.
Any last words you want to say to the people?
Nah, I appreciate y'all. I appreciate y'all's platform. I'm glad Leon gave me a I'm glad he came up with a title for me that you know. before the date that somebody's come on, like, what is Leah talking about? Let me call Nico. And I like what you put about hoodies, because we always say don't let the hoodie fool you. Mm-hmm. Because the thing about it is, just because it looks different does not mean it's not spiritual led.
Right.
It's just how we dress, but we're spiritual led. We're going to have church. We're going to look like a church. We're going to act like church because we're church. So when people's like, oh my God, they in that shout. And I'm like, hey, don't let these hoodies fool you.
Right.
Don't let it fool you.
Amen. We've been waiting for this. We, you know, Leon and I, you know, we talked about it when we start with our questions with Pastor Nate, like 2-3 weeks ago. He already had some way before that. And he sent me his list. He was like, so, you know, you can vibe off me or you can do whatever, how you feel.
Okay. I wouldn't miss this for nothing. We were supposed to start premarital counseling tonight.
Mm.
And tonight is, I told Leon, is North Carolina Central's last home game. So, and I'm the chaplain there. And I told him, prior to, I had given my friend my word that I was going to do this. So everything else had to, because that's the only thing you got is your word. And whenever he gives me his word, he does it. So I was like, hey, I ain't going to, because I do, well, that, you know, that. Now, I remember when I was on TV it's called TCT in Wilson, North Carolina. And I had a guest I was really, really excited about. His cousin's wife, husband, Antonio Burroughs, got me on there. And I had my own show. And he's like, man, get a good guest. And I had a good guest, and I was so excited. It had my notes, and they canceled on me. I was so hurt. Because I was so prepared. And so I didn't ever want anybody to feel like I felt that day when somebody had given me their word.
Yeah.
And so there was no way I was going to miss this.
We appreciate it. I even text Leon, I think, on Monday. I was like, he's still coming?
She takes my money.
I wasn't going to miss this for nothing.
Well, thank you so much.
We appreciate y'all.
Got on my heart.
Appreciate it. There you have it for another episode of the Impel Forward podcast. Stay
the
tuned.
People's favorite pastor.
Peace.
Peace.
All right. Some of them.